welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Lots of stuff going on today. And again, thank you for the support of healthmasters.com. I had a customer come in here just a few minutes ago, Michael. He's over from Lakeland. He's been listening to us for a while now and supporting us. He's came in and bought a water distiller. And unfortunately, we actually had just run out, so I have one ordered, and it's going to be basically brought in immediately for him. But again, thank you for supporting the show and supporting Health Masters. We're doing the best we can to bring you guys real, true news and just everything from health topics that people don't want to talk about to all the other stuff that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And again, thank you for supporting us, because it's not, you know, we get a lot of flack, guys. I'm sure you probably know that, but when I mean we get a lot, we get a lot. We get a lot of emails. We get a lot of negativity just from people that don't like what we're bringing up, and because we don't follow along the mainstream mantra of basically the song and dance pony show. Let's keep the circus clown act going, and we don't stay in line with that. It hacks off a lot of people. So we, again, thank you for your support. And also, Dad, how are you doing today?
You know, Austin, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it, regardless of how many happy emails we get and how many bad emails we get. It doesn't make any difference, because I know who I have my faith in. I know who my Redeemer is, and I know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, including staying the course, staying the true course. You know, Paul Craig Roberts came out with a very – Paul, 90% of what Paul Craig Roberts comes out with, I agree with. The other 10%, I don't necessarily go along with it. But that's okay, though. 90% is an A. A minus, still the another nevertheless, an A. And if you get A in a college, not a university, a 90, it's still going to be a 4.0. And that's how I look at my relationship with these types of authors like Paul Craig Roberts. He's on point almost all of the time. He wrote a really good article today, and I wrote him a letter back today. And I know Paul. I've corresponded with him before, so I'm going to read you the letter I wrote back to him, which probably won't make him happy, but I'm going to still read it back to you guys. It says, "A successful coup against Trump will murder the American democracy." It says, "President Trump calls it a witch hunt, but it really is a coup against the American democracy. The Democrats who want Trump impeached don't realize this. They just want Trump impeached because they don't like him. The impeached Trump people don't understand that if the coup against the elected president succeeds, every future president will know that if he attempts to drain the swamp or bring any changes that are not acceptable to the ruling elite, he too will be destroyed. Voters who want real change will also get the message and give up trying to elect the president or members of the House and Senate who will be responsive to the voters. It will mean the end of democracy and accountable government. Unhindered rule by the deep state and associated elites will take democracy's place." Now, I've posted the rest of Paul's letter on here, and I've got so many other stories I want to cover today, I don't have time to cover it. But I will tell you right now that I agree with the overall content of what he just said. But here's what I wrote back to Paul. "Excellent newsletter as always. You ask several questions in this edition, including why is only Trump under investigation?" This is the rest of my response. This is, okay, I'm going to restart over again. I'm just going to read it all the way through this time so I don't break it up. "Excellent newsletter as always. You ask several questions in this edition. Why is it only Trump is under investigation? As you already know, Israel, Rothschilds, the Federal Reserve, Exchange Stability Fund, 95% of the media, the CFR are all under control of the international banking cartels who control both sides of the narrative. Otto Kahn admitted to this very succinctly 100 years ago. I don't believe Trump will be removed from office. It will never get through the Senate. But the communists in the Democratic Party don't realize that this is a banker show. They think it's a real impeachment. They are playing for blood. What a mess. Until the international bankers are emasculated, that means castrated, their control over the CIA and the military-industrial complex and organized crime will be used against all of us." Guys, this is what's going on. It's a show. It's a complete and total circus clown act. All of it's a circus clown act, because they're trying to do everything they possibly can to get rid of a sitting president. Now, like I just said in this letter I wrote to Paul Craig Roberts, the people who are involved in this, the Cortez weirdos and all these other people, they really believe, Biden, all the rest of them, they really believe they can unseat a sitting president. They don't understand that this is a show. And they're doing everything in their power, and I mean this very sincerely, everything in their power to destroy this president. That's why Austin and I, we are so careful. When Trump does something right and Trump does something wrong, we always do everything we possibly can to tell you guys, okay, this is good, this is bad. Now, some people say, well, what in the world, you know, why are people supporting this guy? Well, the reality is why people are supporting this guy is because he told us, you know, hope and change is what Obama wanted to have. Make America great again is what Trump wanted to have. All of these are campaign slogans that are put together by the international think tank banking cartels. It's all about manipulating all of us to bring about the desired end, because it's to get us, you know, ready for the new world order. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's about getting us ready for the new world order. Now, they've got a president who basically – this is a new book came out. This is from the Stanford Advocate. This is the author who says, I'm not qualified to diagnose the president's mental acuity, the author writes. All I can tell you is that normal people who spend any time with Donald Trump are uncomfortable by what they witness. He stumbles. He slurs. He gets confused. He is easily irritated and has trouble synthesizing information, not occasionally but regularly. Those who would claim otherwise are lying to themselves and or to the country. Now, I've got to step into this thing now and say he's drinking a gallon of diet sodas a day. This is aspartame that was brought to you by Donald Rumsfeld, who doesn't remember what Building 7 is, was, or has anything, any knowledge of Building 7, on a Mancow Mueller show. He exposed this back in 2011. Donald Rumsfeld brought us aspartame. Aspartame is a brain entrainment molecule. It contains aspartic acid, phenylalanine, and basically paint thinner or methanol. The methanol cannot be made non-poisonous. It's a neurological poison. It cannot be made non-poisonous. It's paint thinner. You can't drink it. It's awful for you. Make you go blind and causes all types of brain issues. The aspartic acid triggers a dopamine release. It basically eats holes in your brain. And the phenylalanine in high concentrations causes permanent nerve and brain damage in anybody. This guy is drinking a gallon of this a day. And he eats McDonald's. What the heck do you think he's supposed to do? He's going to be confused and he's going to slur his words. I've got a pastor friend of mine, and I've spoken to him at length about this, and he didn't listen. He started hammering Red Bull, Diet Red Bull, with aspartame before he spoke, and he started slurring his words. I mean, to the point that it was obvious during his message. I finally called him up and I said, look, dude, here's the deal. What the heck? What's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? You know me. You've read my articles that I've written on aspartame. You know it's a neurological poison that cannot be made non-poisonous. What the heck are you doing this for? You know, well, I just needed a little kick when I was doing my seven sermons every Sunday, because he has like seven different meetings in his son's church, because his churches, he has churches scattered everywhere. He has to do everything, fly everywhere, helicopters, the whole bit to do churches. And so I told him, I said, dude, buddy, I said, you know, you can't push yourself like this. Whoever burns twice as bright burns half as long. You turn a candle on the side, you light both sides of it, you're not going to get much light out of that candle, because it's going to go black on you pretty quick. And his father died from cancer in his 50s. And this guy's now 50 years old. And I said, dude, you got to chill out on this, burning this thing and doing all this crazy stuff. It doesn't matter. And guys, here's the thing. Nobody apparently wants to sit down and talk to Donald Trump about the dangers of aspartame, or if they have, he hasn't listened. Donald Rumsfeld brought us aspartame when he's head of the Food and Drug Administration, knowing that from the Delaney Amendment, which had been passed earlier, that no compound that was linked to cancer could be included in the United States diet and put into the food supply. It was from the Delaney Amendment, and they knew that this causes brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches, optic nerve degradation, and brain cancer. They knew it. In one study with primates, every single monkey tested developed grand mal epileptic seizures. Every monkey. And Donald Trump is basically the monkey on the gallon of aspartame, not to be disrespectful to him. It's ridiculous. Who in the world drinks diet sodas who has any kind of educational background or any kind of care about how they think about their bodies? And see, this is the problem that we have. He's going to be easily controlled because of the aspartic acid. He's going to be easily confused. He's going to slur his words. He's going to make stupid decisions. He's going to say unbelievably stupid things in tweets. And this is what we have. We've got the circus clown show in the United States. Wow! The government of the United States goes completely unchecked, and the bureaucracy goes completely unchecked, and they spray us with chemtrails. They spray us with Morgellons. They spray us with barium. They spray us with aluminum. They put all kinds of drugs on the market that they know 50% will be recalled or their warning labels will be changed within 5 years because of toxicity and death rates. They give us all types of immunizations loaded with mercury and fetal cells and aluminum and toxic compounds like squalene. They do all of this stuff to us because they're trying to protect us. You say, well, they wouldn't do that to us on purpose. They would never. They would never, ever experiment on us. They wouldn't do it. They won't spray us with chemtrails. Chemtrails aren't real. I'm like, okay. Well, I've got two water tests to show that my water was so toxic with barium and aluminum from rainwater that it wasn't even potable. You couldn't drink it. Well, okay, well, there's something else that caused that. No, there's not. I'm a chemist. I had 18 hours of chemistry. I got a minor in chemistry from Florida State. And basically, I know how to handle samples. And you take beakers, you put them in the rain, you make sure they're rinsed with distilled water, you make sure they're sealed, you send them into the lab to get tested, and you find out what's wrong, if anything's in them. And I did that twice, both times loaded with barium and aluminum. Well, there's got to be another explanation. No, there's not. They're spraying crap on you and they're poisoning you. Well, the United States would never do it. Oh, the government would never use you as guinea pigs. The government would never use you as guinea pigs. All right, let me give you a couple examples. Let's look at from 1932 to 1972 in the infamous Tuskegee syphilis study. 200 black men were diagnosed with syphilis and are never told of their illnesses and are denied treatment. They are used as human guinea pigs in order to follow the progression and the symptoms of the disease, just to see what happens. In 1939, at an orphanage in Iowa, 22 children are the subject of a so-called monster experiment, which attempts to use psychological abuse to induce children who spoke normally to begin to stutter. Just for the heck of it, see if they can do it. The experiment was designed by Dr. Wendell Johnson, and is one of the nation's most prominent speech pathologists, for the purpose of testing one of the theories on the cause of stuttering. Okay, you don't believe. Okay, how about 1940? In 1940, Chicago, 400 prisoners were infected with malaria in order to study the effects of the new and experimental drugs to combat the disease. Nazi doctors, later on trial in Nuremberg, cite this American study in order to defend their own actions during the Holocaust. Yeah. In 1940-1979, the UK Ministry of Defense conducts open-air tests using disease-producing bacteria and viruses. Many involved releasing potentially dangerous chemicals and microorganisms over vast swaths of the population without the public even being told. Well, let's not forget 1943. In response to Japan's full-scale germ warfare, the U.S. begins research on biological weapons at Fort Detrick. Well, 1944, the U.S. Navy uses human subjects to test gas masks and protective clothing. Individuals are locked in a gas chamber and exposed to poisonous mustard gas and other compounds. By the time the war was over, more than 60,000 U.S. servicemen had been used as human subjects in chemical defense research programs. But they're not even told of the nature of the experiments. Well, let us not forget Project Paperclip. We brought all these Nazis over who like to do all kinds of weird experiments in concentration camps. In this top-secret program, the U.S. State Department, Army Intelligence, and the CIA recruit Nazi scientists and offer them immunity and secret identities in exchange for work on secret projects in the U.S., including MKUltra. Yeah, all of this stuff. But the government would never do this to you, and all this stuff is released as research. In 1946 to 1953, an experiment sponsored by the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission and the Quaker Oats Corporation at the Walter E. Farinell State School in Massachusetts, 73 mentally ill disabled children are fed oatmeal containing radioactive calcium and other isotopes in order to see how the nutrients were tracked and digested inside of their bodies. Yeah, 44 to 46 to 62, 40,000 American soldiers observed nuclear explosions just a few miles away, not even being concerned, just see what the radiation would do to them. And it goes on and on and on. Maybe my favorite one is this. In 1950, the CIA conducts aerosol testing using LSD in the subway system of New York City. That has indeed happened. It's not under question, but all the relative documents have been destroyed. In 1950, Project Gabriel and Project Sunshine, researchers in the U.S. and the U.K. attempted to determine how much nuclear fallout would be required to make the Earth uninhabitable. What's wrong with these people? In the 50s and the 60s, the CIA and British military studied, with Timothy O'Leary, LSD as a potential weapon for the use of intelligence services. Human subjects, both civilian and military, were used with and without their consent. At least one of these subjects dies. In the French town of Pont-Saint-Esprit in 1951, that bread is spiked with LSD as part of the CIA, as part of a mind control experiment, which leaves five people dead. And Let us not forget, 1953, the CIA initiates officially Project MKUltra, 11-year research program designed to produce and test drugs and biological agents that will be used for mind control and behavior modification. And it goes on and on and on. And I've pasted this article for you at the Health Masters news site. And you can read the other 20 or 30 or 40 or so programs that have been used against the people in the United States. But they would never spray chemtrails on us, would they, guys? They would never give us LSD, would they? They would never, ever put aluminum and barium in the air and force us to breathe it. They would never inject us with aluminum and squalene and cancer cells from human beings' complete genomes in the doggone vaccines to induce cancer. Oh, they wouldn't do that. They already did that with SV40 back in the 60s with the polio vaccine, or the polio little drink they had us all drink. 100 million people were given this stuff because they wanted to curb the population of the planet. And they would never tell you that fluoride is a byproduct of plutonium and uranium and atomic bomb research, and they had to dump all this chemical crap somewhere, so they put it in the water supply because they knew it would make you servile and infertile because they got the research from the concentration camps. They'd never tell you any of that. So yes, my friends who want to say to me, I don't believe in chemtrails. What is wrong with you? Do you not see them spraying you like a bug with Raid? This is what they've done. This is the absolute perfect example of a government, a federal government, completely out of control. It started back with that stinking, blithering idiot Abraham Lincoln, whose memorial should be completely demolished. And yes, everybody can quote me on that. His Sherman's March to the Sea, destroying houses and farms and raping women and destroying livestock and destroying food supplies because he wanted to break the back of the South, his own country. Yes, that Abraham Lincoln, that despot, and that doggone Woodrow Wilson, all of these compromised individuals that we put in the White House who bring the furthering of the doggone Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian agenda, the doggone Druidic agenda, into fruition. It's these people who control the United States of America. It's these people who brought you all of these chemical compounds in your food supply and all of the poison and a 1 in 32 rate of autism to cripple the United States through Cloward and Piven when all these children no longer can produce and all their parents are dead and we have tens of millions of children in basically government custody creating trillions of dollars in expenses throughout their lifetime. It's these people who are doing this to us on purpose. That's the same people who are bringing us the Circus Clown Act in Washington, D.C. They know Trump can't be impeached. They know it'll never get through the Senate. It will be used, as I told you, to drop the economy, to cripple the economy, to cripple the markets, to bring Donald Trump back into office in 2020 because he's under control of the deep state. I dare say it. He tries to do things that he can try to do on the edges to try to get around this stuff. But his promotion of red flag gun laws and white privilege and his daughter running around doing what she's doing, he won't put a doggone muzzle on that mutt. Are you kidding me? Yeah, this same Donald Trump that everybody wants to sit here and paint accolades over, that, oh, he's being attacked by the deep state. He's being used by the deep state to bring their agenda, just like Otto Kahn said he would do 100 years ago. So guys, support the president when he does stuff right. Call his butt out when he does stuff wrong. Don't do what we did with George W. and allow him to do everything he wanted to do and still have the support of the Christian right. Guys, if you're a Christian, look at the Pope. Right now, the doggone Pope, this blithering idiot Pope who was involved with Operation Condor down in Argentina, who is now saying that he denies the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the guy who's running the Catholic Church. The Catholics are stuck with this clown, this douchebag. They're probably not even a Christian. Yeah, this is what's happened in our world. When we allow people like the Pope to get into power, when we allow the international banking cartels to do what they want to do, whatever they want to do it, however they want to do it, and act however they want to act, and we ignore it and say, oh no, you can't say the Rothschilds control the international banking cartel because that's anti-Semitism. No, it's not. It's a statement of fact. These clowns are the synagogue of Satan. They were called out in the New Testament. Jesus called them out. He said they're children of the Lucifer himself. We're supposed to sit here and go, oh my goodness, the Rothschilds are such good people. No, they're not. These are the same perverted people that Stanley Kubrick talked about in his movie Eyes Wide Shut with their doggone rituals, their satanic parties, their Babylonian parties that are so prevalent among the elite now, with the entire child pedophile network of Jeffrey Epstein taking thousands of people and subjecting them to these young children, having sex with them, and videotaping them in the process, completely compromising and blackmailing them. Same group of people. You dig under any stinking rock when there's a problem. You dig down deep enough, you're going to find the same people under every rock. It's who they are. It's what they do. This is Luciferian. This is this group of druids. Goes all the way back to the ancient Canaanite religions. To the point now, they put a statue of Moloch, the god who demanded human and child sacrifice, in front of the Colosseum. Unbelievable. It's like in your face. In your face, ain't nothing you could do about it. Well, by golly, as long as God gives me breath and gives me the ability to speak and gives me mental acuity and allows me to do the things that I need to do to tell you the truth, I will do so. Regardless of how many bad emails we get, regardless of how many show hosts get pissed off at me or Austin because we're telling you both sides of the story. Don't you know, Ted, you can't do this? You've got to do everything you have to support the sitting president. He should be able to do anything he wants to do. He should be able to walk out in the street and shoot somebody, and there's nothing you can say about it. No. I'm not that way, and I'm not going to be that way. Austin, what do you think, and what's your next story, bud?
Well, that was a great intro, very well said, and there's no doubt about it. You know, and something else that I wanted to bring up too today is because as we see all this stuff starting to take place, the other aspect of it is too, is we have this real ID system that's also being put into place that Trump has blatantly encouraged, which I've done research, I've talked about this for years now, as a lot of states were trying to actually not go in and capitulate to this, but the deadline for what a lot of individuals have called one of the most insidious elements of the post 9/11 initiative is less than a year away from coming to fruition. No later than October 1st, 2020, all citizens from any U.S. state or territory will be required to have a real ID compliant driver's license card or U.S. passport to board a commercial plane or enter a federal government facility. Now, I'm in a precarious situation that I get to find out what's going to happen next year because I literally, there was a kind of a glitch in the my driver's license expiration date and the deadline for the real ID as far as what they were doing. And if you ordered your driver's license and renewed it before, I think it was last year of December in the state of Florida, you didn't get a real ID chip in your card. So they gave me this big orange pamphlet when my driver's license showed up. There was like a 3-week like lapse in this whole spectrum that pretty much they were trying to force everybody into it, but I was right on the verge of it. So now my driver's license doesn't expire until I think like 2026 or 2028 or something. And I don't have a chip in it. And it's not a real ID card, apparently. And so they gave me this big orange pamphlet, and it said, you know, this ID, because you ordered it at this time and you opted out of this, it's not real ID compliant. Basically meaning this driver's license is about as useless as a wet paper bag starting October 2020. You won't be able to use it for anything except for, you know, if you get pulled over at a traffic stop, you're going to have it, basically. And that was fine with me because I had a passport. I've had a passport for years. I've been, you know, blessed to travel a couple different times out of the country when I was younger. So I've continually kept my passport updated over the years. So I still have a current passport. No big deal. And what's ironic about it now, though, is because they're pushing this real ID card. And they've tried to tell everybody, you know, you need the real ID card. You need the real ID card. A lot of states have resisted. But dependence upon federal aid, which is what always is done, the money controls the whole entire spectrum. You keep the people. You keep the states. You keep the local government dependent on the money, the free money enough. It's not really free, but it's basically free to them. The Federal Reserve just prints it out of thin air, charges us $100 a bill for it when it costs them, I think, 13 cents a bill. And then they charge interest on the money that they loan us, and they never print the interest. We're not even going to get into that whole topic. So a lot of states now, pretty much all of which, have surrendered and capitulated to this Federal ID Act. And it's ironic because we see, and there's a couple things I'm going to bring up here in a second, where this is probably going to go. As we know, the Social Security number in cards where when they broke ground, they were never supposed to be a national ID system with Social Security numbers. A lot of people don't realize that. That was basically Franklin Delano Roosevelt's doing. For decades, there have been reminders that the cards were intended to simply only be account numbers. They were all they were. They were an account number, so you had your Social Security number, which was your account number that your money went into, essentially, when the Social Security system was first brought into inception. Now, of course, that whole thing has completely gotten so twisted, manipulated, and aborted now, so to speak, and I use that term very specifically. It's horrible what Social Security system has done now. They've used it as essentially a slush fund, burn money out of it, and my generation's going to be standing there, not even knowing what to do when we've paid literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in Social Security over our lifetime, and they're going to come in and say, sorry guys, you're basically going to get a pennies on the dollar now. We're sorry we screwed you over, so to speak, excuse my language, but you basically, you guys are done. You know, that hundreds of thousands of dollars that we stole from you, without your consent, because by the way, a lot of people don't realize, if something is taken from you without your consent, that is theft. That is theft. That is blatantly theft. There is no other dictionary definition for it. I've tried to opt out of Social Security multiple times. That the only way they'll do it is I have to have a lead Amish individual basically notarize and sign that I'm a prominent figurehead in my Amish community, which I'm not Amish, obviously. And if I do that and I sign all this paperwork, I can opt out of Social Security if my Amish leader and my Amish community basically signs off on that. That's like the only way to do it, which basically makes it almost virtually impossible. So, again, they steal the thousands upon thousands of dollars out of my check every single year against my consent. I've tried to opt out of it. And then when it comes time due to the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they've stolen and you actually want to make good on it and you want your money back, we're going to be out of luck. And it's ironic because I did the math one day. And if I took, I forgot the numbers right off the top of my head, but it was somewhere basically like if you took the, say roughly $300,000 over your lifespan, I think it was something around, just rounded up, $300,000 over your lifespan, and you basically took all that money and you put it something in basic, like just like a money market account that was making you like 2.25% right now, which you can get, you know, and that money, you would be making thousands of dollars. I think it was somewhere upwards of like, you know, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a year after it continued to build on itself for that period of time. The money continued to build with the interest. And so it's funny because that $300,000 that you put in over your lifetime would actually be worth, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere over around $500,000 if you just put that amount of money that you take in Social Security every single month and you put it in a money market account for like the next 40 years. You'd have like $500,000. Your money would almost double on itself over 35 years. But that's not the case, is it? We see that our Social Security fund continues to dwindle and 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 disappear into nothing, and it's stolen from us. And now we have this real ID system, which is going to be even more nefarious, we're seeing now, as these driver's licenses have chips in them. They have chips in them, the real ID cards the majority of Americans have now that you'll be forced to have to board a plane, or you're going to bring your passport with you everywhere you go in an airport, which, like I said, I'm not really, I've done that before, so it's not that abnormal to me. You just have to be really, really careful with it. But they're saying now, a lot of people that are against this real ID system that have done research on it for years, they're saying it will represent the last mile and the ability of the state to track individuals in real time. Because what it's going to be used for is you're going to have to start presenting your ID at almost everything now. And it's going to be scanned. And when it's scanned, it's going to do a real-time location log of where you're at, what you purchased, what you're doing, and where you go from there. With various electronic, social media, and cell phone tracking measures, there's always a delay. You know, they can track you on your phone, they can track you on your post, they can track you on your Google and stuff like that. However, one can choose not to use social media. Heck, you can choose to still not even own a cell phone if you want to, by the way, guys. And you can opt out of other methods, basically. And, you know, if you walk around with a hat and sunglasses, it's pretty difficult for facial recognition cameras to spot you, especially if you keep your head down. But the real ID in particular, coupled with the biometrics, they remember now, like 40 airports in the country are now mandating for international flights and now domestic flights, they're going to facial recognition scan you as soon as you want to board your plane. It ties in the entire surveillance state. So now every time you use your driver's license with this real ID chip. They're going to have real ID scanning of where you are, what you're doing. So, I mean, you got to remember, if you go somewhere and you do something and law enforcement wants you to submit your driver's license, especially at an airport, a bus station, a train station, you have to give that to them, or they can basically escort you off the premises and not let you enter the premises. If you say, I'm not giving you your ID, here's my name, I'll give you my name, I have to give you my name because you basically are requesting it, and I don't want to get charged with failure to comply with the lawful command of a police officer, which that's a whole other topic I'm not even going to get into, but you don't present your ID, you just give your name, say basically you don't have your ID with you, and they say, no, you have to have your ID to be in this building. You can't board this plane, train, bus, taxi, whatever it is. You have to leave. They make you leave. So you can't transport lawfully, and you can't transport freely unmolested on your way. So expect it over time, and this is my opinion as well, and multiple other people's opinion, this to be levered against individuals with something, say, is outstanding traffic tickets, tax disputes, child or spousal support arrears, loan payments. If you go in now and they want to scan your ID and all of a sudden it flags up and say, sir, you're actually behind on your taxes. You're going to have to talk to IRS. You're not allowed to come in here anymore. You can't board this plane. You can't board this train. You can't board this boat. You can't do it. We scanned your ID. And you're going to go, what are you talking about? Sorry, there's a hold. There's an IRS hold on here. There's a child support hold on here. Or you have a traffic ticket from a red light camera that's not even constitutional that you didn't even know you got, and you basically didn't pay the fine. So there's basically either a warrant out for you, or we put a hold on your real ID until you pay this ticket. That's exactly where this is going right now, and they've already come out and said that the real ID system is going to be rolled in to almost every area of transport. They're also talking about access to national parks and historic sites. They're also saying that they're going to tie in the government ID to the census data, drug prescriptions, and even discussing library borrowing choices. Now, why in the world would they do that? Not that many people use a library anymore, but you can still currently go to a library, pretty much pick out any book you want that they may have on the shelf, give them your library card, and that's it. There's really a hard way to try to track what you're reading. That's because they want to know what books you're interested in. They can track everything you do on Amazon, so you go, hey, I'm going to go to the library. You've got a library card. I'm going to go in now. I'm going to get some books on some real history if there are any left in the library. I'm going to find out what really happened in the Civil War. I'm going to find out what really happened with these Operation Paperclip. I'm going to find out what really happened. Well, now all of a sudden, when they scan your driver's license every time, immediately that biometric chip that's in that ID is going to be scanned on what book you read, where you're at, what you're doing, and it's going to go right in to your national federal database of everything you continue to do. This is where this is going. If the real ID is eventually accessible by the third-party private sector, oh my gosh, there's not going to be any living with them anymore. You're going to have every single thing about your personal history, everything you do, everything you buy is going to be literally right on your driver's license, which is going to be the most used ID you have in your pocket. So likely, this will probably happen, and this is my opinion and a few other people's opinion, is that despite the real ID cards and all the safety they're going to provide and how they're going to make everything so much better by giving up our freedom and basically privacy for more security, right? That's always what they say. And of course, we know what Benjamin Franklin said about that. At some point, we're going to find out that something's going to happen. Something bad's going to happen. Another attack's going to happen. And they're going to come in now and say, listen, we got to reform these IDs. We have to take this to another level. We need more funding, more bureaucracy, more legal restrictions, and we have to make this more restrictive, and we have to make sure these real IDs are used on everything. I can almost guarantee you that's exactly where it's going to go. And probably, I would say, by 2030, as we know, the UN has their agenda in place that they want to have happen by 2030, the establishment of the real ID program will probably go global, and it will require pretty much be the use of anything, like I said before. Tickets, board trains, buses, and possibly state lines, even toll booths. You're probably going to have your real ID signed up and logged in, so it'll basically transfer when you do toll booths. They can find out everywhere you're going and everything you're doing in your personal vehicles. And again, like I said, possibly state lines, which they may very well put border stops at state lines, as you guys have seen pretty much any utopian future film, such as Hunger Games or End Time and films like that. They always have border checkpoints at every single state, keeping and making sure they can control the inflow and outflow of traffic and maintain who's in that state at any given time. Because right now, you have to understand, you can pretty much, if you're low-key and you don't have a newer vehicle and you don't have OnStar and all that, you can pretty much have a vehicle that you can drive, and especially if you have a spare tire or something like that, you can have your tag visible to law enforcement behind you, but it doesn't have to be that visible to other cameras and so forth. And you can drive pretty much across state lines legally on your way, unstopped, unmolested, and there's pretty very much little way of tracking you. If you don't have a cell phone on you, you don't have OnStar on you, you don't have any electronics on you, and you have a legitimate tag that's still visible by law enforcement but isn't visible to the high-angle cameras, you can pretty much travel anywhere you want in the United States as long as you're pretty much driving safe and you don't get pulled over. There's no way of knowing where you go and what you do. That is something the globalists have no intent on allowing much further at all, because once the population starts to realize how manipulated we've been and how the bankers have completely and totally taken over another country once again, like they've done in so many other countries, why the bankers are almost always and veiled, be kicked out of every country they take over once the general population figures out what lying serpents they are, they know we are going to be irate. And the only way to control an irate population that is also the most armed population in world history is to have them fully controlled, grid tracked, and monitored before they become irate, so you can make sure that you can manipulate the situation, control them, and push them in the direction and the narrative that you want them to follow, and there will be nothing left to do at that point. So Real ID, here we come. Look at different aspects of what it's going to be used for and wake up and try to do the best you can to avoid this going any further, especially if they start trying to use this for every aspect of our life. We have to stand firm on this, because once a Real ID system is implemented for pretty much everything we do, that will be the end of privacy and being able to travel freely, unmolested on our way, which is a God-given right and a constitutional right, Dad.
You know, Austin, the other thing they're going to do besides implement a control grid as far as freedom of movement, they're going to take the guns away. And they've already started doing that here in Florida with 3,000 red flag gun laws that have been implemented. And this is, again, Donald Trump pushed this. And, you know, and this is the same guy who said he was never going to touch our Second Amendment rights. It just shows you how manipulated and controlled he is, and how the media basically, you know, is using Trump against the right, against our wishes, but making us think that they're persecuting him and making us think he's the savior. I mean, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. The whole thing's twisted, and it's what they do. They're a bunch of serpents. You know, I mean, that's what Andrew Jackson called them. He told me to rout them out. He's a bunch of serpents and vipers. And they don't have they don't have the empathy that I have for you guys. I mean, I pray for you guys every day. I pray for you this morning. I love you guys. I really mean that. Now, those of you who send me bad letters, don't love you as much. Just be honest with you. I don't care for some of your attitudes, because you're not looking at the whole picture. But I love you nonetheless, as long as you're a Christian. The Bible tells us that we're going to know each other because we basically love one another, and we have to understand that. So yes, the control grid is based on the Chinese model, which is another Rothschild-controlled country. Remember, the Russian Revolution spread into China. The Russian Revolution was paid for by the international banking community. The international banking community owed the central bank in Russia and in China. Now, Putin's trying to shake himself loose of these guys, but because of the international banks, et cetera, and their hold on Russia still, he hasn't gotten them out of there yet. China's completely capitulated to them. The Rothschilds' beta test was China, because the people were so easy to control and so easy to kill, I guess. But of course, Stalin and Lenin killed 60 to 100 million, but nobody wants to talk about that because Stalin was our ally. So we have to think about all of this stuff and who these guys are. You say, well, they wouldn't do that. Guys, they did it in China. They killed tens of millions in China. They killed 60 to 100 million in Russia and in the Eastern Bloc states after World War II. Eisenhower starved millions of German soldiers to death. Over 10 million more German civilians starved to death after World War II. I mean, they've already done it. I mean, how dare those pesky Germans tell somebody the truth? Oh, yeah, how dare they? By the way, interesting. A German actress now has basically destroyed Angela Merkel in an open letter. Here's what she said. Dear Frau Merkel, you are the most despicable and criminal chancellor the German people have ever had to endure. I say amen. You brought the German people terror, war, poverty, and death by deliberately and illegally importing illegal immigrants into the country, hundreds of thousands of mercenaries, terrorists, and other die-hard criminals. According to Article 16 of our Constitution, not one of those who arrive through a safe country has the right to asylum in Germany. What does that mean? It means that if you're coming from Egypt and you're going through Turkey or you're going through another country that has the right of asylum there also, that you don't have right of asylum in Germany. It doesn't make any difference. That is why all of your guests are illegal criminals in Germany. The Schengen and Dublin agreements were also deliberately illegal in the value of sworn, among other things, to keep harmful things away from the German people. But you do every day exactly the opposite. You have no mandate to deal with the needs of all citizens, but only for the good of the German people. This alone was your mandate. You are nothing but an employee of the German people. For you, the power belongs to the people and not you. You're constantly incited the entire nation against each other, split it and destroyed it, entire families, and you cap it all by instantly repeating the lie that Germans are doing better than ever. Due to your illegal guests, all public events now must be massively secured, surrounded by fences and guards with armed and automatic weapons. There are now protection areas for women who seek protection so that they will hopefully not fall victim to sexual abuse and rape committed by your guests. Every day your guests commit scores of shocking violence. Poverty among our elders and children is higher than ever. Almost a million Germans live on the streets. Helping these people is your mandate, and not flooding all of Europe with invaders from other cultures and feeding them with billions of hard tax dollars? And are you asking for respect? Your invaders, mostly criminals, who rape and kill in Germany, are the taken under your defense and portrayed as victims of right-wingers. If you really wanted respect and possess a conscience, you would answer for your crimes before court. And this list, and I posted this letter on the website. Guys, the German people are starting to wake up now that their daughters are being raped and their wives are being raped and their children are being raped. And they realize that within 20 years that Germany will be a Muslim country, thank you to Frau the Beast Merkel. Now they're finally starting to understand what the heck happened and what are they going to do about it. Guys, this is a major, major, major problem for Europe. And now if Deutsche Bank completely drops down and falls apart, you're going to have a major problem with Deutsche Bank causing a complete and total global collapse, which could be the trigger point for the stop and drop of our stock market. Unbelievable. By the way, Joe Rogan, who I don't care for because of his unbelievably filthy language, but I will give the guy credit. He does cover a lot of topics that nobody else wants to talk about. He is now blasting the practice of allowing transgender athletes to compete against women. Wow. In the Joe Rogan Experience, and also he's also an MMA commentator, he went on to extend the powerful rant against allowing transgender women, biological males, competing against naturally born women. Rogan welcomed comedian Greg Fitzmunds to the podcast, and the topic of transgender MMA fighters came up. Rogan did not land on the side of the transgender athletes. He goes, "You're out of your mind," Rogan said. "For those who support men who are claiming to be transgender women entering boxing or MMA ring against a natural-born woman." Rogan criticized the whole scheme of men claiming to be women competing against natural-born women athletes, not just in the fight game, but in the very specter of sports. Rogan insisted it doesn't make any sense to allow athletes who grew up as men for decades who suddenly decide they're a woman, then they enter sports competition against women. Joe Rogan's right, and I give him kudos for this. And you know, the sad part about all of this, guys, is where have we gone? Again, I talked about this on a show a few months ago. I talked about the inversion that has taken place in the United States because of these guys who live under the rock. Yeah, I said it again, didn't I? The guys who live under the rock in the shadows. Remember, Jesus said they don't like to be out in the bright light. They want to hang around in the dark like their father does and do things behind the scenes. Guys, it's so important to understand that we've got to stand against this in aggregate. We have to stand and say, no more, no more. We're not going to put up with it. Because if we do, we're going to have the same thing in this country that just happened in Mexico. When Mexican police officer who basically arrested El Chapo's son is shot 150 times in a brutal, broad daylight revenge execution. Yeah, that's where it's going in the United States if we allow these guys who control organized crime here in the United States, who sling $1.5 trillion worth of dope through their CIA and their multiple lily pad bases around the world, and we're all saying, well done, we're doing great. No, we're not, guys. We've got an opiate problem in the United States, and it's because of the same guys who live under the rock. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's definitely, you know, I mean, the drugs, now they're starting to see, I think there was a, I saw an article last week that they basically caught another, I think, 40 kilos of fentanyl coming over the border. Then again, I think there was another article last week. I had some of the stuff printed off, but I've been so busy all week. They found another, I think it was like, they busted like 50,000 pills. This was interesting. They were listed and labeled as generic oxycodone, like 10 milligram oxycodone tablets. When they tested them, they were fentanyl tablets. They were listed as oxycodone, guys. Listen to what they're saying. So they're selling oxycodone tablets on the market, but they have fentanyl in them. And this is why we're seeing so many people overdose and get hooked, because fentanyl is unbelievably dangerous. I mean, the stuff is a topical compound. It's so toxic, it's topical. You're not really supposed to ingest it. They're putting fentanyl on oxycodone tablets to make them even stronger, so people are either going OD very, very quickly, or they're getting more and more hooked on these things, because the level of opioids, if you've ever talked to somebody, or if you've dealt with this before, you've seen that the level of opioids, your resistance, your ability to basically take the same amount and get the same results, your threshold becomes much higher, much faster. So, you know, if you're taking a 10 milligram oxycodone, you may be able to take that for a couple days, but after 4, 5, 6 days, it doesn't do anything anymore, and you've got to slowly taper up your dosage. This is what's happened with so many people overdosing on heroin in the United States now. It's because so many people have begun using heroin for years ago, and now there's a glut of heroin in the market because Afghanistan is producing so much heroin. I think roughly around 90% of the entire world population, or excuse me, the world production of heroin comes out of Afghanistan. They're not even cutting this stuff anymore. It's straight raw Afghan opium. And even when it hits the market in the United States now, individuals don't even need to cut it very much at all. They may hit it once or twice, and it's sold, and it's so strong, individuals are ODing on it. This is the topic that a lot of people don't want to talk about. It isn't just the drug cartel moving this stuff in, because the truth is, if we wanted to stop the drug cartel from moving this stuff in, we would have already done so. If we wanted Afghanistan to stop producing and shipping heroin to the United States, we would have already done so. It's ironic to me, there was a interview the other day from one of the four-star generals in the Pentagon, and they were doing interviews, basically Q&A, about this whole Saad Mahad Hubeem, whatever his name was. I don't even remember his name anymore. The thing was so ridiculous. This terrorist they killed over there. And she goes, you know, what can you do as far as, you know, obviously we don't have ground troops all over the world. This is what this girl was asking him. How quickly can you mobilize and basically stop something if you want to stop it or catch somebody? And he goes, the American military is so strong, anywhere, anytime, at any point, we can stop, prevent, or do anything we want anytime because of our military bases. He said that, and that's a loose quote. So basically, at any point in time, if we want to stop something, we want to prevent something, we want to intercede in something, we can do it immediately because of our drones, because of our F-22s or F-35s or whatever multi-hundred billion dollar Lockheed Martin contract they're working on now for our fighter jets and our U.S. troops. We pretty much have the ability to do anything we want. We have the strongest U.S. military in the entire world. That's what's ironic about this is what's so funny, and it makes me chuckle in an ironic kind of way, when we go, oh, you don't know what to do with Afghanistan. You know, they're producing, what, over 10,000 metric tons of heroin every year. We don't know how this is getting in the United States. How is it possibly getting here? We don't even know how to stop it. But then we go, well, any point in time, anywhere in the world, whatever we feel like it, we can stop, we can prevent, we can kill a terrorist anywhere we want, we can stop anything we want, because we're the U.S. military. Well, which one is it? I mean, 10,000 metric tons of heroin, isn't an easy thing to just waltz right into the United States? Ooh, we got 10,000, unless you're using military bases to transport it. And that's a topic we brought up numerous times, and that hardly anybody ever wants to talk about, is that if Donald Trump's in control, why haven't we stopped the Afghanistan production? We have military troops in there, right? Why have we not sprayed the entire crops with Roundup or napalm them or gone through? And look at this. All the guys I know that are deployed over there. Why in the world are they not allowed to drive through the poppy fields when they're driving around on deployment? I ask you that. Every single individual I know that's deployed to Afghan sandbox, they have had explicit orders that they are not allowed to drive through poppy fields. They're only allowed to walk through them. Why is that, huh? Well, that's just odd, right? Since we like to go through and firebomb countries whenever we feel like it. I mean, heck, Assad allegedly dropped chlorine gas on his own people that we found out later was complete and total lie, but it didn't stop us from releasing 120 Tomahawk missiles all over the country and blowing up air bases and runways and everything. So we obviously don't care about infrastructure in other countries. That's very clear. So why in the world do we care about poppy production in Afghanistan if we know it's directly linked to the massive global epidemic of opiate usage? Just a question I thought everybody should ponder. If you want to look at the root cause and you want to look at really what's going on, find out where the money is coming from. And when you start looking at almost a multi-trillion dollar global industry of opium now, then you start understanding why they have not stopped it, why the cartel still functions, why if we have the strongest military and we like to get ourselves involved in every single conflict we personally feel like getting involved in, why in the world don't we do anything about the cartel? I'm not against it getting involved in foreign policy. I'll be like, right now, I'm not for invading other countries. I'm very, very libertarian on that. I stand right with Ron Paul. But of course, that doesn't stop us from throwing coups in almost every single country that we want to change the dictator into somebody that's a puppet regime that we want. So why in the world can't we stop the drug production in all these countries since we have a surveillance system that's unmatched in mankind? We have the NSA that monitors everything that happens. We have a real ID system that apparently we're so concerned about monitoring our own U.S. citizens on everywhere they go and every flight they take, we're making them get chipped on their driver's licenses, but yet we're still not worried about the 10,000 plus metric tons of heroin that comes out of Afghanistan every year. Just kind of ironic to me, Dad.
Well, that's why we went into Afghanistan, so we could reestablish the poppy fields. The Taliban had gotten rid of it. It was one of the primary factors of 9/11 and the precipitating incident of going to Afghanistan to begin with, because they'd had a lot of heroin that was growing in Southeast Asia back in the 70s. And then what ended up happening is because we started messing with the Ho Chi Minh Trail by trying to flood it, we messed up the doggone, the rain cycle there, and then the poppy didn't want to grow any there more. And so we moved to Afghanistan. Well, the Taliban got so pissed off about all that, they got rid of it in the late 90s, and we had to have a reason to go into Afghanistan. That's when 9/11 came around, so we could reestablish the drug trade. What, Ted? I've never heard this before. Yeah, do some research. Figure that one out. And this is what's going on right now in the world. It's all about slinging the dope. Because remember, the CIA is controlled by these guys who live under the rock, and the CIA is the one who's bringing in through the military, through the Air Force primarily, these C-130 transport planes into these different places all over the world, some thousand lily-pad bases that go completely uninspected, to organize crime figures who unload the trains, the planes, or whatever they want to ship it in on, and basically distribute to the general population. And then they want to tell us they're running and slinging the dope through Mexico. They are running and slinging some dope through Mexico, but that's in competition with this, and that's why they continually try to bust these guys. And China's also running and slinging, trying to put dope in the United States, because this is such a profitable market, because everybody wants to be on dope around here. See, it's the craziest stuff. And so when you start, read that book, Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. Guys, we were bringing in 50 kilos, 100 pounds of heroin in body bags, in caskets, in the doggone GIs coming out of Vietnam. This is all documented now. It's been released. I mean, this is what we do. The entire world is run through this organized crime network. You got the Jewish mafia, you got the Italian mafia, you got the Irish mafia, you got the Chinese mafia, you got the Russian mafia. Organized crime runs the planet through the international banking cartels because they're the funding agent. That's just as simple as it gets. But nobody will talk about it. Don't talk about that. We can't mention that. Shh. Quiet. Yeah, that's right. Because that's the whole world and how it runs. But on the good news, I've got some good news for you. Kanye West, Jesus is King, is number one album in America. Guys, I don't know about this guy's conversion, but I'd rather have him talking about Jesus than talking about weird stuff and doing drugs or whatever. So if Kanye West is really born again, he's really a Christian, bravo. My hats are off to him. I know when I got saved when I was 23 in graduate school at Florida State, a lot of people didn't believe me. They didn't believe me. Because I've been that guy, right? You know, I just was that guy. I wasn't saved. And all of a sudden, I had this radical Saul of Tarsus conversion. And suddenly, people were like, whoa, is this the same Ted Brower? You know, why are you talking about Jesus? You're not a Jesus freak, are you? And I said, yeah, I am, actually. Guys, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as Jesus is being preached, that's what the Word says. And if Kanye West is getting 1,000 people saved at these concerts and these things he's doing, good for Kanye West. Now let's get him into a good Bible study. Let's get him into the Word of God. Let's find a good group of people they can hang out with. Let's get them away from their old friends who do the dope and sling the drugs. And let's just try to do our best to mentor these people and get some people saved. Because anything that happens like this is just a black eye for the New World Order, because they hate Jesus. They got an atavistic hatred of Christianity. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. You guys are the best. Man, what a week of shows we have had. Wow, for my little fireside chat with you guys, I think it was on Wednesday, to yesterday's show, Monday show, Tuesday. I mean, what a great week of shows. Guys, I love you. Thank you for supporting this show, and thank you for sending this show out. You're not going to get this information from anyone else that I know of. Maybe Jeff Rentz. Jeff Rentz is pretty doggone good. He's really good. But guys, I love you, and I appreciate you. You guys are awesome, and I just respect you for who and what you are. And I thank Jesus every day for what he's allowed us to all do and become through him and with the covenant we have through God. Austin, finish it up, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you again for the continued support of everything of Health Masters. Be sure to check out the product of the week. The what do we have running right now? I should pull it up here. The vitamin C. That's what it was. Yes, the vitamin C, the excellent C right now at 10% off. Great product right now. Lots of other kits and specials. We got a lot of other kits we're starting to get together right now. I got some more things. I told you guys before, the Maxim Energy Kit is still on sale. And also be sure to check out the turmeric 144 count, which is still on sale right now for $49.98 with the big bottle 144 count. People are using this. A lot of people use it for allergies, like my wife. Some people use it for inflammation. Great product. You can take a mega dose on it. And I know when Alana, personally, when she was dealing with allergies, she ran it up to 16 capsules a day, basically four capsules four times a day for a short period of time. What it does is it massively reduces that inflammation cascade, so it gets your body back under control and gets that inflammation back under control. Your allergies and inflammation get a lot better. So again, thank you for the support. You guys have an awesome, blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again on Monday, as always.